health status of Vietnamese immigrants.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Our study is about Vietnamese immigrants, another refugee population within the United States who are also from the Southeast Asia. But my focus in the study would be is not on prenatal health, is actually on acculturation. We are trying to look at the acculturation experiences of Vietnamese immigrants, and also we try to analyze how this experience actually affect their mental and physical health outcomes. My co-author in this study are Dr. Mark Van Lenningham, who is my dissertation chair at Tulane University, and also Dr. Jenny Rice, who is our stats consultant. We have no relationship to disclose. This is the outline of the presentation. Before I start, I wanted to acknowledge the data for this study are actually from a NIH-funded project which focuses on migration and health association, particularly for Vietnamese immigrants. The bigger project actually collected data from three Vietnamese populations. One is the Vietnamese immigrants in New Orleans. We also have two groups who are from Vietnam. They're migration returnees who returned back to Vietnam due to the repatriation in the 1980s. And also the never migrated Vietnamese nationals who live in Ho Chi Minh cities in Vietnam. So the bigger project involved the collaboration between Tulane School of Public Health and Tropical Medicine, SISS in Ho Chi Minh City, and also Viet. Viet is a local NGO which are helping the Vietnamese immigrants in New Orleans. Specifically for this study, we use only the data from the sample of Vietnamese immigrants in New Orleans. The purpose is to try to investigate the dimensions and levels of Vietnamese acculturation. Specifically, we focus on the second generation Vietnamese immigrants. They were born in Vietnam. They all came from Vietnam. And second, we also try again to examine the association between acculturation and health outcomes. Okay, this is the back. Oh, I'm going to cover a little about the background. You might have seen this picture before, but relative to the other major immigrants population within the United States, the Vietnamese international migration is a comparatively a recent phenomenon. It was until the 1970s, the Southeast Asian War displaced millions of millions of Vietnamese families within that region, also some of the Laos and Cambodia's families too. But specifically for our Vietnamese population, in 1975, the communist North in Vietnam defeated their Democrat South in Southern Vietnamese government, which actually leads to like huge numbers of families who tried to evacuate to escape from the country. Most of the evacuees during that period of time suffered horribly during that process. Even though we don't have specific record on deaths, but it has been believed the death rate during that process are surprisingly high. And a large number of Vietnamese immigrants actually immigrate to the United States during the 1970s. And then during the 80s and 90s, Vietnamese has become one of the fastest growing immigrant groups within the United States. By 2006, we actually have around 1.1 million Vietnamese in the United States. Here I'm talking about the foreign-born Vietnamese. Most of them live in the coastal states, including California and Texas, and also some are in Louisiana too. In Louisiana, we actually have around 25,000 Vietnamese immigrants. Most of them live around New Orleans area. We also have huge Vietnamese population in Florida, in Washington DC, and Massachusetts. And some of the other things to highlight is, compared with the other Asian immigrants population within the United States, as a refugee population, Vietnamese immigrants generally have very limited English skills, and they have pretty high poverty rate compared with the other immigrants' population, and also their educational levels are also lower compared with Japanese or Chinese or some other immigrant groups. But their studies in literature also note that particularly for this population, they maintain very strong, very neat, tight community and family structures. They also maintain very close relationships between communities within the states. For health profile, like a lot of studies in literature recognize Asian immigrants as a model communities, particularly regarding the health outcomes, but this actually doesn't hold for Vietnamese population. A lot of studies have reviewed Vietnamese have pretty high prevalence of mental health problems, and also their reported physical health outcomes are also lower than the other immigrants population. And then for healthcare utilization among this population, the mental health care utilization is particularly low. Acculturation is one of the most important constructs in understanding immigrants' health. But in the earlier studies in literature, most of the studies focus on the assimilation of immigrants into U.S. culture. Recently, it has been recognized that acculturation is actually a bidirectional and multi-dimensional process in which individuals, on the one hand, gradually acquire the culture and behaviors in a receiving environment. On the other hand, they also maintain and relinquish their own culture of sending origin. There are four possible outcomes. First is assimilation, which means moving towards the receiving culture. The second is integration, which means integrate the receiving and the sending culture at the meantime. And we also have another group which kind of like trying to stay away from the culture of the receiving environment. And then like this is not real for marginalization. We are talking about a group of immigrants who are actually alienated from both of their two cultures. During my past 8 years of stay in the United States, basically I have met like Asian immigrants, Chinese or Vietnamese immigrants who can, on the one hand, they can speak English well. On the other hand, they have lost quite a bit of the culture of origin. So they are either, we cannot call them Americans, and they don't really keep a lot of culture of the same origin. So they are strongly marginalized from both of their two culture. And studies in literature document a strong association between acculturation and health, but truthfully, the direction of the association and the magnitude of the association still are not that consistent. So for this study, we are looking at their acculturation of Vietnamese immigrants. And for our sample, it's based on a master list of all Vietnamese Americans living in New Orleans, Louisiana. And we contact the household which appear to have an eligible participant according to the following criteria. Age is between 24 and 49, just to make sure we are looking at the working age adults. And they are all born in Vietnam, and they arrive in the US between 1980 and 1990. These criteria are actually used to make sure the comparability of our three groups, because in our bigger project, we have three groups of populations, which would enable us to look at migration impact. But for this study, we look at only the immigrants. And our respondents are randomly selected among this population according to those criteria. And we actually interviewed 128 Vietnamese immigrants just before Katrina hit New Orleans in 2005. Okay, here's our health outcomes. We use SF-36 health assessment instrument. This instrument is very unique. There are 37 items in that scale, which actually allow us to look at eight dimensions of individual's health. From those eight dimensions, we can also come up with two summary measures to look at physical and mental health. In our study, we used the two summary measures in order to reduce the number of analysis we have to conduct. For acculturation, we use Anderson's acculturation scale. This acculturation scale is designed specifically for the Southeast Asia refugee population, and it allows us to look at language proficiency, including both English and Vietnamese language proficiency. We also have another measure, which is preference over language, social contacts, and food. The higher the score, the more Americanized the individual is. And in the literature, a lot of studies actually use two proxy measures for acculturation, which is length of stay in the United States and age at arrival. We have those two in our study. Okay, this is a distribution of the 17 items in an Anderson acculturation scale, like three items on language, including speak, write, and understand, for same for Vietnamese language. And for preference over language and food and social context, we have a list of items, but due to the missing information on language with spouse, with children, and language at work and social contacts at work, because the information for those who are unmarried, who have no children, and who are not working are missing. So for these subscales, we actually use only six items, language with friends, language with neighbors, language at family gatherings, and food preference, close friends' daily say, and neighbors' daily say. And from the distribution, you can see, like, most of the, like, we have quite a big proportion of the sample actually prefer to use Vietnamese, or some of them actually use only Vietnamese in their daily life. So overall, from this scale, we can say their level of Americanization of this population is still pretty low. And for the six language items for English and Vietnamese language, we can say, like, actually surprisingly, like, even though after over 20 years of stay within the United States, quite a amount of our population still don't speak English well. But on the other hand, their Vietnamese language skills are still pretty good. Few people, very few people, like, can, almost all of them speak English, and some of them, only very few respondents can write, and can, only very few of them couldn't write Vietnamese well. So the when we look at language, most of them still maintain a very good level of their culture of origin. So for the data analysis, we first report the sample characteristics with univariate statistics, and then for bivariate level, we use t-test and Pearson correlation to look at the association between each dimension of acculturation with health outcomes. For multi-level analysis, we use OALS regression because the outcome is a continuous variable. Okay, this is some information about the sample characteristics. So for the mean age of this population, it's about 42 because of the sample criteria. Yeah, we basically look at those who have been in this country for at least over 15 years. Within the sample, we have more males than females. And the majority of the sample are married because of the stage range. For education, it's actually like, this result actually goes pretty well with what's reported in literature. The educational level of this population is still pretty low. When you look at, they are around over one third of their respondents actually have lower than high school education. For occupation, and we have like only a little bit over 10% of their respondents who are taking professional jobs. Most of them are still like doing clerical and agricultural type of work. We also have quite amount of respondents who are not employed and who are not working at this time. We also look at home ownership, and within our sample, the vast majority of the respondents owned home. I wanted to highlight length of stay and age at arrival. Like, the mean age of stay of our respondents within the United States is over 25 years. But when you look at the English language skill, and then you would say like how poorly they are actually acculturated within the United States regarding the aspect of assimilation into the US. For the household comms, we use PCS and the MCS. And for Anderson acculturation scale, we look at Vietnamese language proficiency, and again, language and social contact and food preference. Based on the two language proficiency scale, we come up with another bi-culture acculturation, which allow us to further look at their like different components of acculturation. First, high on both of the two language skills, which meant to look at integration of this population and also we also look at those who are low on English but high on Vietnamese and the other way. And then this skill also would allow us to look at distinguish those who are low on both of them, which means those who are isolated and marginalized from both of the two cultures. This is a result from their bivariate association. At the bivariate level, age at arrival and length of stay are not significantly related to either of the two outcomes, but the reason is because there's not much variability among this population regarding the two items. For English proficiency scale, we say it is positively related to physical health of their Vietnamese immigrants, but Vietnamese proficiency score is significantly related to MCS, which is mental health. But for the bivariate level, the bi-acculturation measure is related to mental health, but not with physical health. When you further look down, you would say, like, actually those who are low on Vietnamese but high on English actually fare the worst on mental health, because for our mental health score, the higher the score, the better the health outcomes. Okay, this is the bivariate results. At multivariate level, I run the five models and to look at each of the acculturation dimension. The control variables include age, marital status, educational level, and also home ownership, and also occupational status. And so at bivariate level, we say when we adjust to the confounding variables, language, social contact, and food preference are significantly related to physical health, but not with mental health. Again, when we control for socioeconomic background, we don't see a significant association between English language proficiency with either of the two outcomes. For Vietnamese language proficiency, it's still strongly and significantly related to their mental health outcomes. The results from the bi-culture acculturation scale is pretty interesting. See, we still, and then we say that those, compared with those who maintain a high level of both Vietnamese and English language scale, those who are low on both fare worse on mental health, as well as those who are low on Vietnamese but high on English also fare worse on mental health outcomes. I further bring down this variable to two levels, which means those who maintain a bicultural orientation versus the other. And then we see those who actually can speak English and Vietnamese well fare better than the other groups. And for the control variables in this study, again, like we say, overall males fare better on physical health outcomes, and then compare with those who are separated, divorced, and widowed, they never married, fare better on mental health outcomes. For home ownership, these items actually are significantly related to both physical health and mental health, which highlight the significance of economic integration of this population regarding their health outcomes. Okay, so this is the conclusions based on our study. First, overall, our immigrants, first-generation Vietnamese immigrants, maintain a higher level of Vietnamese culture, but the degree of Americanization is very low. And our results show the high level of assimilation into the U.S. culture are associated with the mental health, but for physical health. But for mental health, it seems the Vietnamese identity plays a more important role. But overall, those who maintain about bicultural orientation actually fare the best on health outcomes. So the take-home message here is that on the one hand, it's very important for us to facilitate the social, cultural, and economic integration of Vietnamese immigrants as well as the other immigrants into the U.S. culture. But on the other hand, it's equally important for us, I mean, to promote the ethnic identity, yeah, so as to foster better health outcomes among them. Let me see. I won't go through this. Yes. For the limitation, the first I wanted to acknowledge is that due to the small sample size, we have only 128 in our study, and a lot of associations we found are not statistically significant. Second, because the data are cross-sectional, so which we are not able to, I mean, further look at the acculturation process over time among this population. And third, the sampling criteria in this study allow us to only look at a segment population of this population. In the next steps of the study, we are currently working on another project which look at the impact of Hurricane Katrina on this population. So we are trying to cover a wider population within Vietnamese community, and then we hope taking advantage of the next step of data collected, we will be able to further look at the differences in acculturation across generation within Vietnamese immigrants in New Orleans. Thank you very much.
Thank you. It's interesting how the three presentations present different, talk about different groups in different states of the country, but have a common theme of the need to be think more bicultural and not kind of like have, it's not unidimensional as a whole issue. Do you have any questions to the speaker or to the other previous speakers?
Like that family and personal support is a really big deal.
Other acculturation, was that correlated with education level? Or that kind
we
of
control for that. We control,
control for this.
Yeah, we control for education, age, education, gender, and home ownership, and also occupation. Yeah. Yes, but for the control variable, age didn't come up to be different, and occupation and education didn't come up because of the sample size issue. Yeah, but we did control for those.
Because like intuitively, you would kind of assume that it's easier, like for somebody with a higher educational level or better education, kind of to pick from each culture and to see the difference and then to merge and synthesize, rather than seeing it as an either or.
Education interacts almost with everything else, mm-hmm. and also because of the correlation among the acculturation dimensions. For the analysis, I actually run models that if I put all of them in one model, I won't be able to see much because of the correlation between them.
I would like to thank all of the presenters for their presentation. I asked people, I sent a sheet around if people wanted to sign up. It's over there, so if somebody still wants to sign up and to be on our For the Purpose email list, please, of the Purpose of Refugee and Immigrant Health, please feel free to do so. There is still another session at 3:30 in this room on of the Purpose, and tomorrow is one final session, and our Christmas session we have today at 6:30 in Commonwealth Street C. So it's right over here, so all of you are invited as well. It sounds very boring, but it's actually interesting because we talked about policy issues and what happens in the next year program. So with that being said, thank you very much for your attendance and one final question. And I do have still some more handouts.